We're broadcasting to you today live from Gadigal land, and it is NAIDOC week. This year's theme is Get Up, Stand Up, Show Up. So we're heading to Canberra now to learn about efforts to enshrine a First Nations voice in Parliament in the Constitution. This morning, I'm joined by Bridget Carmo, a Wiradjuri First Nations and Pacifica Fijian woman who's also the co-chair of the Uluru Youth Dialogue, here to tell us why the voice is important. Bridget, thank you so much for joining us here this morning.
Good morning. It's great to be on.
And happy NAIDOC week to you as well.
Thank you so much. I'm actually at home at the moment, so with COVID, but enjoying watching everything happening online.
Oh dear, you poor thing. I hope you get better soon. In the meantime, though, what does a First Nations voice in Parliament look like?
Well, ultimately, a First Nations voice to Parliament should be what First Nations envision it to be. And the whole concept is really about having a representative body of First Nations that advise Parliament and the Executive on the issues that affect us as First Nations peoples. And it's really important that it's protected in the Constitution, which means that we do have to go to referendum.
Yep.
And then it will be the voice would be protected in the Constitution. But to be true to the Uluru Statement from the Heart, the voice must be truly representative of First Nations peoples and our diversity. And it's really important that that is captured in the structure and that it should be grounded in self-determination of local people on the ground to allow them to determine who their representatives are and how they are elected. And from the regional dialogue held in 2016 and 17, First Nations peoples talked about wanting a bottom-up approach. So there will likely be local and regional voices which feed into state and territory voices and then a national voice.
Yep.
But that national voice must be representative of the views of the people on the ground. And a lot of the work has been done around what the structure of the voice will look like. But first, we need to ensure that we work towards the first step of a successful referendum so that we can say, yes, there must be a First Nations voice to Parliament and capture its core function of advising the Parliament and the Executive on the matters that affect us in the constitutional amendment. The power for a voice to exist will be constitutional. And that will mean that it can't be taken away at the whim of government like we've seen throughout history.
Yeah. Why are people sort of scared of Indigenous Australians having a voice in the Constitution and in Parliament?
I mean, change is always scary, isn't it, for anyone? But I think there is a lot of misinformation out there, and that's what the youth and our senior Uluru Dialogue members have been really focusing on, is educating people around what the Uluru Statement is, firstly, and then secondly, what the proposal of the voice is and what it will actually mean on the ground in communities and what it will actually mean to the Australian people. You know, it isn't a scary thing. It's quite a generous proposal. It is an advisory body, and the goal is for our First Nations peoples to ultimately have a say over the issues that affect us, which we currently don't have. And we think that it's time for Australia to take that next step on our journey of unfinished business and allow First Nations to take their rightful place in this country whilst also being recognised as First Peoples in the Constitution.
Yeah, I think, I don't know what it is with people, they sort of think it's because it's constitutional change, it's sort of someday it's going to mean that because this change is made that they're going to get evicted from their houses or something like that, but sort of not really realising that the connections that First Nations people have with the land isn't through sort of the lens of property development or anything like that. It's just sort of the love of the land because the land provides so much.
That's it. And land is it's integral to who we are as First Nations peoples. And I think it's really important that people understand that the Uluru Statement from the Heart is a gift and an invitation to the Australian people to walk with us so that we can all benefit and future generations can benefit from coming together and going through this referendum, but also being able to embrace its First Nations peoples and be proud of the 60,000 plus year history that we all have as peoples living on First Nations land here, and embrace that. The Uluru Statement talks about all of us coming together for a better future, and I really think that the voice is the next step in that. And we haven't yet dealt with that unfinished business, so I think it's time, and there is a lot of momentum there behind First Nations voice to Parliament, so really, we should be looking at getting this done really, really soon.
Bridget, the work you've done on this is absolutely amazing. Beyond voting the right way for even when it does come to referendum, what's the best way to find out more information about all of this and how people can support in the meantime?
Yeah, if anyone's interested, they can head to our website at uhurustatement.org. We have plenty of information about, you know, the history of advocacy by First Nations peoples in this country and how that led to the Uluru Statement from the Heart in 2017. It also talks about, it has many resources on there, and we're calling for people at the moment to continue having those conversations around the dinner table, around the Uluru Statement and what the voice is. Don't underestimate those conversations, but also writing to your local members of parliament and senators in support of the voice. But really, we just want that message to be out there and have those conversations happening so that people can be best equipped to vote when it's time to go to referendum.
Bridget, the work that you're undertaking is absolutely magnificent. As the Uluru Statement website states, history is calling, and I couldn't think of someone better to be part of that history than yourself. Thank you so much for joining us here on 2SER Breakfast. I hope you get well soon too, you poor thing.
Thank you so much.